the WHTC Morning News with Dan Evans and Gary Stevens on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.
Welcome back to the WHTC Morning News for this Wednesday, January 18th. Sitting in for Dan Evans, I'm Gary Stevens. The U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments today in a case involving whether or not there's a federal law guaranteeing disabled students the education specific to their needs, and just what exactly will be the ramifications of enacting that law, or shall we say, having that law being used. To help us a little bit with this, because it is a case involving a deaf student and Sturgis Public Schools, we are joined on the other end of our phone line by CBS News legal expert Thane Rosenbaum, novelist, essayist, and law professor. And he's on the other end of our phone line this morning. Thane, good morning and welcome to WHTC.
Thanks, Gary. Good morning.
Glad you are with us. Tell us a little bit about this specific case. It's Miguel Luna Perez against the Sturgis Public Schools. What exactly is this case entirely about?
So Mr. Perez, who is deaf, never received a full public education because the school never provided him with interpreters, just school aides, but no one who could read sign language. So oddly enough, he went through and was still doing well, but he clearly wasn't, you know, he was clearly not receiving all the assistance he could in getting a public education. At the end, he wasn't given a diploma. He was just given a certificate of attendance. So he and his family ended up suing the school board because there are two kinds of statutes that work in favor of people with disabilities. One is that they're entitled to an acceptable public education, which there's a question here of whether he receives it. And the second is that they can't be discriminated against, right? So those are two different statutes. So under the first statute, where you go under administrative law, means you're going to a different set of courts, not state courts, not federal courts, but what's called administrative courts that handle only these matters. He ended up suing them, and they ended up settling by giving him the right to attend a deaf school. Even though he'd already graduated, technically been to high school, they gave him an opportunity to go to a deaf school. And then after that was over, he said, all right, well, now I want to sue the school board for money damages because they prejudiced me. And you're not allowed to discriminate against me under that second statute I was telling you about. So he went into federal court asking for damages. And the school board said, whoa, you're not ready to go into any other court because you have to, what's called, exhaust all of your administrative remedies. It's a procedural a term of art, Gary, comes up a lot. Where the cases are brought into a higher court, and the defense is to say, yeah, but you have to exhaust everything you could have achieved in the other system, the administrative law system, before you gain access to these courts. So they're saying, you know, if you wanted money damages, you should have been making that claim in the administrative court before going. So this is going to the Supreme Court today. There's oral argument today. And it's a kind of, again, it's a very technical case, right? It's very procedural, right? What is this really about? Was he allowed to bring a case in federal court, and or must he have exhausted all of his remedies in the administrative law court? He's saying, I already exhausted all my administrative remedies. The earlier administrative law case is about that I was entitled to a public education, and they gave me an opportunity to go to a deaf school, period. There was nothing else for me to do, right? So now I'm going to federal court to get my money. And the school's saying, no, you could have made those arguments earlier. So these are what's called, you know, procedural cases. They're dry, right, because they don't deal with, it's not about the rights. We already know he has these rights, right? I already said they have these two statutes, one against discriminating against a person with a disability, and the second is to ensure that he or she receive an acceptable public education. This is just procedural. Was he allowed to get into federal court to make the claim that he was entitled to money damages as well.
How tough is it to make the decision based, as you mentioned, on dry matters instead of taking the human emotion factor, which unfortunately, you know, we being human beings, you know, we can't sometimes completely extract ourselves from the subjective parts of a case and, you know, just rule on the objective facts as it's stated from both sides?
So that's a great question, Gary. And what I'll tell you is that a lot of what the Supreme Court is dry and isn't, you know, one of the complaints you can make about the Supreme Court, which is one of the reasons there are reasons why they were never televising the court, because so much of the cases are cases that people wouldn't understand. You know, they're really technical, they're procedural, and they don't deal with the, you know, humanizing matters that you're talking about, right? You're talking about, well, how do you, you know, separate yourself from the subjective? The court takes the position, we interpret the Constitution. We're not really human beings. You know, in fact, years ago when President Obama nominated Sonia Sotomayor, he told the nation, this is a woman who's perfect because she has these very unusual life experiences having grown up in a public housing project in Bronx, New York. People went nuts. Conservatives went nuts, saying, that has nothing to do with it. Your personal experiences have nothing to do with how you make rulings as a Supreme Court justice. It's only based on your ability as a justice to interpret the law. It's not about who you are as a person. So it just gives you a sense of what the Supreme Court thinks of itself or what conservatives think of the Supreme Court, that it's not about anything personal, that if you can get the case eliminated based or decided based on a procedural ground, it's always better than to go to the larger merits. You know, and so many cases are disposed of this way through pure procedure. Like, for instance, is the, you know, a term of art you might hear is standing, right? Do the people going to the court have standing to bring the case? That's a procedural question. You'll hear that all the time, the word standing. That means, are you the right person to come before the court asking for this remedy? Maybe you're not entitled to ask for this remedy given who you are. Ripeness is a procedural issue, right? To say, is the case ripe yet to go to the Supreme Court, or should it be more things resolved below? So it just gives you a sense of what the court, how it sees itself, and how it doesn't really do what you just suggested, humanize the case.
We could talk a lot more about not just this case, but a little bit about Thane Rosenbaum. If you go to his website, which is ThaneRosenbaum.com, novelist, essayist, author, news analyst, culture, critic, talk show host. I like the last one, Renaissance guy.
We look forward. Well, you know, his publicist put that together, but thank you.
We look forward to chatting with you again on some legal matters that are coming up that has a little tie to us in the far western corner of the state of Michigan. Thane Rosenbaum, thank you very much and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Looking forward to being on your show again soon as well, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thane Rosenbaum, on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.